Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Mo Gilligan is well-known UK comedian and TV star of Gogglebox, The Masked Singer and many, many more. He's taken a serious turn with Big Chicken, a fast food conspiracy, his first documentary for Netflix as he investigates our global fried chicken obsession and the hidden costs behind our cravings. A lover of the food, Mo puts his body to the test in an experiment by eating fried chicken 3 times a day for 28 days straight. Over the course of the month, he goes on eye-opening journey from South London to the United States to reveal the historical origins of fried chicken, the social, economic and industrial forces driving our mass consumption of it, from fast food chains to large-scale farming and the impact on our health, our planet and the way we eat. Here's a clip from the documentary.
I only remember one chicken shop growing up. Now, in the UK, there's over 6,000. This bird is big business, boy. I want to find out what this food is doing to our bodies and our minds. I'm going to do an experiment. 28 days eating nothing but fast food fried chicken.
And I'm delighted to say that Mo Gilligan joins me on the line now. Mo, you're very welcome. So, Mo, why did you want to make this documentary?
I think, one, I like fried chicken. That was always the entry point in it. Do you know what I mean? I was met with a food that I really like and I really love, and then had this conversation with the guys at Mindhouse, and it was just, we just had a chat. It wasn't even like presenting me this program. They was just like, you know, do you like fried chicken? I was like, yeah. And I was like, do you ever look at the health implications of it? And I was like, well, not really. And then it was this self-discovery that I was asking them questions, they're asking me questions. And then before you know it, I was like, oh, this sounds good. Even if I wasn't involved, I don't know what you're going to do with it. I would watch this. And then the minute Netflix were like, yeah, we like this and we'd like you to do it, I was like, oh, okay. Wow, my honesty is really making things happen. But I was very, very transparent. I said, look, you know, I'm not an investigative journalist. I'm a comic first. And that's the show that I'm going to give you. I'm going to be myself. And they were like, that's perfect. That's kind of what we want. We don't want you to be someone you're not. And it was the perfect launch pad in some ways. I had my own reservations about it. You know, I felt self-conscious about eating food on TV, specifically fried chicken. My friends, again, when I told them about it, they were like, "Ooh, I don't know about that, man. Why are you eating fried chicken?" And that was something I felt really uncomfortable with. You know, there's a negative connotation that comes with that. I don't know where that came from. But then that was another reason why I kind of wanted to explore and see where else it would go. And the minute they were like, well, we want you to eat fried chicken every day. And I was like, that's fine. And I was like, no, for morning. I was like, oh, okay, well, that's it. No, for lunch. Okay, is this? Oh, no, we're going to do it for the dinner. So eating it for 3 meals a day was like, oh, how bad can it be? Can't be that bad. And then it got bad. It got really bad, Claire. But that was basically, in short, the kind of launch pad for me to make this film, Big Chicken.
And did you worry, being someone who's known for being funny and fun, to come in with something serious, especially with something that people love? You're that guy. You were like, it's only a bit of chicken. It's fun. I love it. And yet you were going to put on an investigative journalist hat.
Yes. And I say at the beginning, I'm like, I'm not an investigative journalist. But yeah, you know, it's always interesting when you say, like, I'm not. And then before you know it, you are doing the thing that you didn't know you set out to do. And again, everything, it felt like it happened very organically, you know, just kind of understanding more. You know, when you're traveling, you're meeting people, people that are affected by it, people that, again, work within, you know, some of the factories, the poultry factories. And you hear these stories that kind of break your heart. And you're like, oh, my God, I want to know more. Why don't people know this stuff? I know it. And I know I'm going to go back and tell my friends. So the fact we was able to document it just felt a little bit more powerful in some ways. Tell a story for people that can't have their story being told. So that's when you start realizing, OK, I'm an investigative journalist now. And any minute now, I'm going to be doing that to the camera to keep rolling, you know. So it was a very, what's the best word to describe it? Intense, but also the self-discovery in it was something I'll never forget. And the fact everyone got to view it felt even more special.
And I do think bringing that humour, not only does it provide a bit of light relief, it's nice to see you being you with food scientists, or, you know, it just breaks it up. Plus, I think it's really commendable that you're using your platform to bring about change, and people are going to listen to you more than they might, somebody, one of the talking heads, the experts, if you want to call them that. So I think it's really commendable, and that's how real stories should be told. Let's talk about the eating of the chicken. So what were the rules? Breakfast, lunch, dinner, no vegetables, no fruit, no exercise.
So breakfast, lunch, dinner, it had to be from a fast food outlet, and I couldn't exercise. I didn't obviously take any supplements. But yeah, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that was, I didn't have any fruit, didn't have any salad. And it had to be from a fast food place, which, when you go to America, you can get things like Chick-fil-A for breakfast. Or whether it was here in the UK and I'm waiting outside the chicken shop, 10:30, 11 o'clock, waiting for them to open up. Yeah, it got real very quickly when I was like, oh my God, we're doing this again. And the crew a lot of time would just bring, they'd be like, oh, here you go, here's your food. And I'm like, oh right, we're really doing this. Like, we're really doing this. Some of them tried to test me as well. I have to give praise to, we have a cameraman called Teo. And one day we was in Chicago, sitting in the car, and they're like, oh, we're all gonna go and get ramen. Do you wanna come? And I was like, there's no point because I can't eat none of the food, so there's no point. And he's like, it's all right, I won't say anything, it's fine. I was like, no, Teo, I have to eat this food all the time. And he was like, oh no, I was just testing you because I film a lot of these docs. And he even said to me, he's like, yeah, people don't really go through it. Like, they don't actually do the thing, And I was like, well, I do. So I don't know about everyone else you film. And he was like, oh, right, man, it's really commendable. Like, yeah, you're really doing this. And I did. I had to see it, had to see it through. Otherwise, we would have been filming something that wouldn't have made any sense if I didn't know the effects of it on my body,
And it wasn't just your body. That's one of the things that surprised me most about this documentary was the impact on your mental health. Did that surprise you? I think everybody knows you're going to gain weight, your markers are going to change, and that's still an important conversation. But you're breaking down in tears, and you don't look the same. It's like your spirit has gone a little.
Yeah, no, I think I was drained of all joy. I didn't know it would have that effect on my mental health so soon as well. I think by day 10, so I'm kind of fed up with this now. But yeah, it probably done more damage to my mental health than it probably done to my physical health, because I feel like I knew it would take a toll on my physical health. I knew I'd get a little bit bigger and stuff, and my face would, kind of get a bit chubbier. But mentally, I didn't think it would do that. I just didn't. I was just like, it probably would maybe a bit longer, but not in the space it did. And that was for me the hardest part of the whole journey, hence why I would never do it again. I couldn't put myself through that mentally. It just wasn't fun.
And the doctor you speak to says the really good point that what about teenagers that are eating this way, that can't make sense of it the way you can? It was an experiment, you were noticing it, you were observing it, whereas some people are eating like this all the time. And that was the other thing that really shocked me the most, although there were lots of shocking learnings in the documentary, was fast food deserts, food deserts, places where there is no choice for people, particularly low-income families. And that's another thing that had an impact on both of our mental health. That's really sad that there's parts of America, and as you're saying, so many of the chains are coming into the UK and across Europe, that's going to happen too, that there's going to be areas where people don't get a choice between what they're eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It can be fast food all the way.
Yeah, it's happening a lot more. And the term food deserts, started in the UK. It was started in a place in Glasgow, was when they discovered what a food desert was. And as much as it happens in the UK, happens here. And I think it was really important for us to tell a story here and a story there, because America are great at exporting so many things to the world, whether it is entertainment, but also when it comes to food, and especially fast food. So yeah, it's really important that we can kind of see these things for what they are and understand the terms, because I was quite naive in thinking a food desert was just a place in the middle of nowhere and they only have fast food to eat. Where realizing that, I soon to realize, I was like, well, this is very heavily densely populated places with a lot of people there, but their food options are just fast food, and to go and get fresh fruit and vegetables is few and far between, you know. And I grew up in an environment where we did have markets, and you could go to these places. And this is places where your mum and, you know, you go with your mum. But when me and my friends would go and play football, we'd go and get chicken and chips. You know, we didn't have a poke bowl or, you know, or some.
Acai.
Yeah, we didn't have that, you know. And I've drive through some of the wealthiest areas in where I'm from in London, and you see that there's a sushi pop up and stuff. And then I go to some of the areas that are not as wealthy in London, and you know, you see kids, and they're going to get chicken and chips, and that's their daily meal, and they eat it every day. And you know, for some people, they would say, "Oh, it's all right because I know at home we've got the healthy food." But if they filled up on eating chicken and chips, they might not want to eat whatever the healthiest food is. You know, I was always aware of the term at home of like, you know, there's always rice at home. I'm like, yeah, but there's always chicken and chips outside. So you could weigh them up of saying we've got this stuff here. I grew up having things like plantain, rice, chicken, home cooked meals. But you know, 6 weeks holiday, I was like, well, I don't want to go home and eat that. I want to have chicken and chips where my friends are because that feels a lot cooler. So yeah, that's just only going to intensify in the next couple of years. So if young people can watch this and see those patterns in themselves, that would always be quite cool as well.
Yeah, what do you hope will change? Because they talk about the power of social media in the documentary and how food trends, you know, people are losing their life in queues for new chicken sandwiches. Are you hoping that clips from this documentary will cause change in behavior, policy change? What do you hope comes about?
Yeah, I think that would be amazing if it did happen. You know, if these were conversations that people could have higher up in maybe Parliament, I think that'd be really important. But I think it's got to start ground level at just having the conversation, whether that is in the home, in the workplace, in the WhatsApp group with your friends, seeing things that you can't unsee now. I think that's where it's going to change, and it's going to change in all aspects of society as well. You know, this isn't a problem just for, you know, black people or just working class people. This is a problem in every aspect of society. There are people that have money to buy, you know, go to the butchers, for example. And if the change for them could be, you know what, I might start investing in more grass-fed chicken, that's great, you know, because that's making a change to the environment. You're eating healthier. But I understand there's also people that can't afford to buy grass-fed chicken. It's very expensive, even organic chicken in the supermarket. But if it moves them to buy organic chicken and they make their own fried chicken in their house, and it takes it back to the roots of where it's from in the south, of cooking it as a southern dish with your family and your friends, then it stops your little brother or little sister being like, I need to go and get chicken and chips when I can actually make this for myself after school. So there's so many conversations to be had, but I think that's where it's going to start at a surface level. This isn't about, you know, oh, you need to be vegan, or why do you eat meat? I think we can have a conversation that can really help both of us.
Have you changed since making the duck?
Yes, I have. I think I didn't eat chicken probably for about 6 months until I once I was like, I don't need to eat this. I do not need to eat this. There's no reason for me to be like, I get a cheeky couple of wings or, you know, a chicken sandwich. So I didn't eat it for about 6, 7 months. It's definitely changed my habits. Weirdly now, when I look at, you know, a piece of chicken in the supermarket, I look at, where's it from? You know, is it organic? I'm quite fortunate enough that I'm able to do that, though. I understand people aren't fortunate. So yeah, it's definitely changed my habits. There's some things I can't unsee now. But yeah, I think I've really submerged myself into it. So I also have to be careful amongst my friends that I'm not being over preachy, because then people are like, all right, bro, chill out. Calm down.
Yeah.
We've all got a Netflix film. I get it. So yeah.
This is one well worth watching. It's called Big Chicken, a fast food conspiracy. It is on Netflix now. I urge you to watch it, have conversations. Mo Gilligan, thank you so much.
Ah, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time, Claire.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.